Great to be with you for another week. Building into the Doomben 10,000, we'll update on all of that for you shortly. But first up, let's talk about yesterday's unbelievable fall. Whether you were either watching it or driving around as I was listening to it, it sounded spectacular, and it certainly was when you saw the vision. Maurice Logue is joining us from Racing New South Wales. Maurice, I know you update on falls and we don't like to hear from you, but gee, yesterday was just quite incredible.
It was, Andrew, and from Malcolm Fitzgerald and the stewards that were at the scene, they said it was somewhat like a war zone with the number of jockeys on the track.
Yeah, for sure. I don't expect you to make any comment here, but certainly while Taree was dramatic, it seemed to be that the Michelle Payne fall down in Victoria just seemed to take it over in the general media. But from us here, we think about all of our jockeys, and Samantha Clinton in particular was the first to come down, and she's suffered the worst of the injuries.
She has. Unfortunately, her horse fractured a leg, which started the chain of events, and Samantha came down, and I spoke to Samantha this morning. She's in considerable pain. She's got soft tissue damage to her back. She's fractured a collarbone. She's still in Port Macquarie Hospital. Right. However, she expects to be discharged later today, and she'll see Dr. Duckworth tomorrow. And possible surgery on that collarbone.
Okay, now the good news, while she's fractured that collarbone, the initial thought was maybe a broken leg, and that's not the case?
That's not the case, no.
Yeah, well, that's some good news, I guess, isn't it?
It is, for sure.
Yeah, okay, so the plan is that she'll meet up in an ideal world tomorrow with your Racing New South Wales doctor, and they'll decide when that operation takes place?
That's correct. Yeah, he's very proactive. So if there is need for surgery, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's able to get that done tomorrow.
Okay. All right. We'll monitor that over the next couple of days. Let's go through the others. What about Kaylee Kirkwood?
Yes. Spoke to her this morning as well. She was discharged from hospital last night, escaped any serious injuries. She did sustain a laceration to her inside of her left leg, requiring stitches. It's in a very bad spot to be able to continue riding, as you can appreciate, just inside the leg. So she expects to be off riding for about 10 days while that heals and until the stitches are removed.
Okay, so take it easy, Kaylee. I spoke with Ross Stitt, who looks after Kaylee this morning. At least she's home, which is going to be the main thing there.
That's correct, and she did have a minor concussion as well. But fortunately, it's nothing more serious than that.
Okay. What about Jackson Murphy?
Yeah, he's originally, the reports coming through was that he had a bruised spleen and lung. However, further investigations now revealed that he split his spleen in half. He had internal bleeding. The pleasing news is, as of this morning, the bleeding has stopped. They expect that they'll monitor him in hospital for the next 4 or 5 days. He'll be released, but it could be up to 8 weeks before we see him back again.
Yeah, they sound bad, but they can mend in time, Maurice, can't they? They're thankfully, we've got sort of, apart from the broken collarbone, they're things that can mend.
They are. They're really, anybody that's seen the fall, the injuries that have been sustained are quite minor compared to how it looked originally.
Okay, the good news is there that the bleeding has stopped. The hospital have been on the job there, and he's got a bruised lung now.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, all right, so our thoughts with Jackson. What about Nisa Burrells?
Yes, she's expected to be released this morning. It appears x-rays have cleared her from any fractures. She was in a fair bit of discomfort, so they kept her in overnight at the John Hunter Hospital, and she'll be travelling home today.
Okay, so that's okay. What about Taylor Marshall?
Spoke to Taylor this morning. He's very stiff, and he was able to ride track work this morning, but he's a little bit stiff, and that's basically the extent of his injuries, is a little bit of bruising and stiffness.
Okay, so all right there. And Travis Wolfgram was the one that was affected more by a horse sort of coming back on his head.
That's correct. And again, I spoke to Travis this morning. He said that he split his lip and there was a little bit of blood when he returned to the jockey's room. He was able to get that cleaned up and he was able to continue riding. But it did gave him a little bit of discomfort. But fortunately for Travis, he was able to stay on board his mount and avoid the being another one on the ground.
And we should mention there with Taylor Marshall, he in fact chose to not ride for the rest of the day, didn't he?
He is, but you can understand as you cool down, you get very stiff and tight. And Malcolm Fitzgerald, who was on course, he said that he probably hit the ground harder than any other of the riders. So for him to come away without an injury, I can understand why he'd be feeling a little bit sore and stiff.
Yeah, landing so heavily. Tragically, as you mentioned, we lost that horse who fractured the leg, who that was the first sign. And then, Morris, it just happened so quickly. These jocks have got no time, really, have they?
No, it brought back memories of my own experience. And I was at Canterbury one day and I was involved in a four-horse fall and I was the last one to go. And I can tell you it happens that quick. You've got no time to think at all. Before you know it, you're on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, in some way we can relate, I guess, if we're driving along and something happens in front and you try and manoeuvre yourself around and you don't quite do it. It happens so quickly that you haven't got time to reflect or to decide what you can do. And these jockeys are travelling so quickly on big horses, and tragically a horse has fractured a leg and fallen and Samantha Clinton's gone and then all the other jockeys. I mean, I guess I can say it because I'm not one of them, but we've got away with it a bit here, haven't we?
We have. We've been reasonably fortunate. If we go back into the 60s and before that, it was not uncommon that we had major accidents on a regular basis. Now, with the better running rails and the better patrolling helped by the stewards, we're able to keep the racing very much incident-free. However, when you have a horse fracture its leg, there's not a lot you can do to avoid that.
No, exactly. All right, well, I think everyone that's listening to us here on Sky Sports Radio wishes every jock all the best. Samantha will monitor that over the next few days with maybe an operation there, it seems, on that collarbone. But let's hope that the soreness can go and that Jackson Murphy's going to be okay, and we'll keep an eye on those over the next few days. Thank you for your time, Morris.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Morris Logue joining us there from Racing New South Wales. Just on Brenton Abdullah too. He's not riding today at Gosford. He's just not feeling 100% well. So that's the reason. No other incidents occurred there with Brenton. Just not feeling 100%. Des O'Keefe will join us from the Victorian Jockeys Association shortly to get an update on Michelle Payne. Obviously, he's getting a lot of media calls, so we'll try and jag him along the way. But I want to move now to the Doomben 10,000. Final field's out at this time tomorrow, but at this stage, it's likely that there will be 10 runners. The definite ones are Charlie Boy, Delectation, Dothraki, Fell Swoop, Hooked, Music Magnate, Ascadalia, Scarlet Billows. The owners are very keen to run, so expect Scarlet Billows to be there. Two Blue, we're about to get an update, and Divine Centurion, we're about to get an update. Kristen Buchanan's first up with Two Blue. Morning to you, Kristen.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. You're enjoying that weather there on, southeast Queensland?
Yep, sensational.
you want to move there?
Oh, well, I don't know if I want to move here permanently, but it's certainly a nice place to be in winter.
Yeah, 27, 28 degrees. It's been remarkable. Although I will say it's a bit cooler today around the Central Coast, but it's been quite warm as well. How's Two Blue going?
Look, I'm really happy with her. She's settled in very well out at the farm we're staying at, and her work this morning was lovely. Yeah. So we're ready to go.
You galloped on the course proper of the Gold Coast. Is she a mare that sort of you need to keep the work up to her?
No, look, at this point in her prep, no, she's not. Doesn't get big and gross. We can go fairly easily on her, but it's just a nice little bit of breeze up work, and that's enough for her in between her races now that they're fairly regularly spaced. And she does a lot of beach work and swimming and things, so that's how we keep her happy.
I shouldn't preempt. Are you a definite 10,000 runner, do you think, at this stage?
Look, I'm gunning for it. There's still further discussion to the owners, but looking at the field sizes and things like that, I definitely think that we'll be headed towards the 10,000. That's certainly my preference, but at the end of the day, the owners have the final say.
Understand. The other option, of course, have got large line up there in the Glen Logan for the fillies and mares.
Yes. Sorry, what was that, Andrew?
I was just going to say the other fields seem to be much larger in number.
Yeah, definitely. If you get as many acceptances as, as it looks like there will be, then Yes, and with my luck at the moment with barrier draws, that could be a problem.
saying on that, I mean, I know Two Blue, you know, watching it, you weren't too sure whether they were going quick or not going quick, but by gee, she was good the other day, the way she held on, and I think you feel getting back to 1350 is really going to suit her better.
Yeah, look, it was always a worry dropping back to the 1200 once she starts getting through her racing. She's certainly better over that bit further. So, look, I'm much more comfortable heading to the 1350. The first up race was always for me a warm up for the rest of her preparation here. So really, she exceeded my expectations. She always hangs on and is very, very tough. You know, that's her real strength and willpower. But I certainly feel that the 1200 is not the best thing for her at this point in her preparation, and a bit more of a trip will suit.
It's amazing just what happens with horses. They get a bit of sunshine on their back that they can just really blossom. Can you see that in her condition?
Yeah, she looks fantastic. I'm just looking at her in the paddock now. Her coat's gleaming. She's got her little mate, Gus, with her. He goes everywhere with her. So they're standing side by side. And look, I really couldn't be happier with her. And the hospitality we've had out here at Waverley Park and at the Gold Coast Turf Club has been fantastic. So everyone's bending over backwards to make things as easy as possible, and it certainly helps a lot.
Good on you. Hope it goes well. We'll wait for the final field in 24 hours, and Pete King is on standby.
He sure is.
All right.
Sure
good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Christine. Christine Buchanan joining us, the trainer of Two Blue. Some other track work notes from the Doomben 10,000. Damien Brown will take the ride on Charlie Boy and Blake Shin on Dothraki. Peter Snowden telling me off air this morning the gallops were really good on the Gold Coast this morning. Fell Swoop had an easy gallop yesterday. Is very happy and a relaxed horse for Zach Purton in the Doomben 10,000. Music Magnate had a very easy gallop this morning. Bjorn Baker said to me he just feels third up at 1350, that everything is just coming to plan for Music Magnate to run really well. And as I say, we'll get a bit more on a couple of other horses and Bernie Cooper's update shortly from Trackwork. But Des O'Keefe, we've been able to jag him relevant to Michelle Payne's fall at Mildura yesterday. Morning to you, Des.
Morning, Andrew.
Des, I know that you wouldn't have heard what I said a little while earlier. We had a massive fall, obviously, at Taree, and then the Michelle Payne fall, that Michelle's fall, because of what she's achieved, seemed to take centre stage yesterday. How is she?
Andrew, Michelle was complaining of acute abdominal pain and was taken to Mildura Hospital. She was conscious and full movement of arms and legs, everything like that, but was the big concern she had was the pain that she was feeling in her abdomen. Mildura then assessed her and decided that the right thing to do is probably to move her down to a major trauma centre down in Melbourne at the Alfred Hospital. And she's arrived at the Alfred Hospital overnight and undergoing a lot of scans and that this morning just to see exactly what she has done, why she's sort of in so much pain in that area. So that will be the process over the next hour or so, and then the doctors here will determine if they need to do anything, what she's actually done, and sort of where to from there. But talking to her last night, she was very, obviously very subdued, quite a lot of pain medication, but certainly able to, you know, tweet something out last night.
Yeah,
so
I saw that tweet come out.
That's where we're at.
Is she still complaining of the pain this morning?
Yeah, that was the key thing that she's really had her most concerned, trying to just get on top of that and determine the reason for that level of pain.
Yeah, the people may not have seen the tweet. Not everyone's on social media these days, but it showed a mark across her sort of front where obviously the vest has done its best to protect the Des.
Yeah, it looks like what may have happened, Andrew, is that the horse may have actually stood on her. Her brother, Paddy, who was at the races, said that he thought that, you know, as in the process of coming off it, she may have just ended up underneath the horse and it's either stood on her once or actually, you know, kicked her on the way past, and that's what's caused this damage. And yeah, the vest, whether it got her just below the vest, is probably going to be the issue, but we'll see how these scans unfold this morning.
And Des, do we know what happened?
Well, it looked...
Because it was side on, it was hard, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 1,000-metre race and first corner, it just seemed about five horses were fitting into where there was room for four, and she's just caught a heel, as simple as that. Just seemed to catch a heel. The stewards have opened an inquiry into actually what happened, but it looked reasonably innocuous, and it may well have been had she not been just either stood on or kicked by her own horse as it went past, because she was sitting sort of out wide and at the back.
Yep.
And so hopefully it'll be okay for her. She was had a really good day. She was riding a lot of horses for her brother up there. They go there a lot. She'd had a double and I think 3 seconds, and coming off that fantastic run of the cup winner on Saturday at Morfordville, things were looking good. But as in this industry, as we all know, what's good one moment isn't so good the next.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we'll wait. I know you do a terrific job, as Maurice Logue does here in New South Wales, of just letting everybody know on how the, as soon as, you know, because you would have taken calls from all around the world.
Well, it's been, her level of engagement with average Australians is massive.
Mm.
And through ABC and through all those outlets, yeah, I'm sure the news of her fall's gone everywhere. And you're right, we saw that horrendous incident at Taree, and just thankfully those riders involved, whilst injured, don't seem to have any catastrophic injuries by any means. So, it's exciting and some really dangerous profession that these riders pursue.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll update on for our listeners as soon as you update through the day, Des. Let's hope everything can settle down and Michelle can be okay. Thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers, Andrew.
Appreciate it. Des O'Keefe there from the Victorian Jockeys Association. Now let's refocus back in on Brisbane, the Doomben 10,000 on the weekend and lots of other attractive racing. Bernadette Cooper's been out and about for Sky this morning. Morning to you, Bernie.
Good morning, Andrew. Nice to be joining you. It was pretty quiet at this end this morning, I must
where
say.
Where are these? Where are the? I know Doomben's racing all the time, but where are the horses staying? Is it down on the Gold Coast?
Yeah, so... basically, I think Snowden's, Waller, Baker and Godolphin are all at the Gold Coast.
Mm.
Obviously, Darren Weir is at Glasshouse Mountains at Andrew Williamson Stables.
Yep.
Mike Maroney also at the Sunshine Coast, and I think there's a couple of others. So it's like it's like the exodus of the Brisbane Carnival.
Well, I've got to ask you then, re the 10,000, did you see Ascadalia?
That's the only horse we saw. And she wasn't doing... She looked great. She just had a fairly easy slide over five and up a couple of furlongs, I think, on the steel. She wasn't doing too much because she had that lovely trial here on Tuesday where she was sort of asked to do a little. So I guess she didn't need much leading into today, but nonetheless, she had a little stretch out around the course proper. And we did chat with Louise Day, as Kieran's not here at the moment. So Louise is her strapper, and she also rides her track work. She said she was very, very happy with how she worked, although not asked to do a whole lot. She also galloped the stablemate.
Agavorian,
yeah. Yeah. And I tell you, his trial was very, very good. He looked really well placed in that Lord Mayor's Cup this weekend, that's for sure, after his run at the Gold Coast where he's never really in the hunt. But he sat four and five deep in the trial here the other day and wasn't asked to do too much. And I think he might have run about third in the trial. He wasn't far away anyway. So those two looked to work really well.
Okay, so they're the two from the stable of Kieran Maher. I did mention, and just so you know, Bernie, some updated news. Hooked's had two barrier trials. Jim Byrne's been booked and goes up tomorrow night for John Thompson to run in the Doomben 10,000. Music magnate Bjorn Baker's just got that confidence feel at the moment. He said third up at this trip, really happy to have Kieran McAvoy taking the ride. Scarlet Billows, the owner's very keen there. Dropped out late in the Sangster, but the owners are very keen to run in the 10,000. It's expected to be Darren Weir's only runner in the race. And what else did I have relevant to that? What else did I have?
The Stratum Star's not running.
Stratum Star, the ones you can take out are Stratum Star, Regis, Tavachi and Gassoni. They won't line up, and we're about to have a chat with Stuart Kendrick after you. He's been talking with the owners, Divine Centurion, in the last half an hour, and he's about to tell us whether it's running or not. So nine definites, and we're waiting on Divine Centurion. So it would be fair to say that it's not the strongest 10,000.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not too often you would even see, not that I'm knocking Divine Century, she looks pretty smart, but not often you see a filly like her get a run in this sort of a race. And if, you know, those horses, 1, 2, 3, 4 already, we're down to 10, providing she's running. So, it's definitely not, boy, Delectation and Escadilla, you know, obviously Dos Raki, Music Magnate, they look the ones at this stage, I guess, but it could really be anybody's race. Yeah, Kieran Miles sort of worried Doomba might not suit Escadilla too well, but you never know. And obviously everyone noticed the flashing light of Delectation here.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The other day it was outstanding, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. What about the sires? Peter and Paul Snowden will have attention, but they're still waiting on Jericho. They're going to make their mind up tomorrow morning. Cadogan for Bjorn Baker will be accepted for tomorrow. Really impressive winner here, Bernie, last Wednesday. Yep. And it will be accepted for, then they'll make a decision. And I understand Bobby Alyssa's got the ride on Dreams of Plenty for John Zilke.
That's nice.
Yeah, so good. He's come back, obviously, from really bad health, but he's come back and riding well. What else have you got?
Well, we saw Candica work. Obviously, a number of these horses went around together at Durban last time out in the Champagne. It was a race where they thought they were going to go mad. The speed ended up quite moderate, so it didn't suit horses like Candica. And obviously, Attention was finishing off really well in that race there also. Candica worked on the course probably this morning with a stablemate, Beatnik, who's going to run around in the Glen Logan Park. And Steve O'Day was tickle pink with Candica's run. She was only beaten, I think, 2.2 lengths the other day in a race that just did not suit her at all. And she's a filly that's been screaming out for 1350, 1400, and probably the mile if she can stick with them. She'll go to the JJ Atkins after that. But they were really, really good, and he was thrilled with it. And we also saw Nikita step out, who was, we didn't find Kelso. He's a little elusive this morning, which he can do. Oh. But obviously he raced what we thought was below par for him, certainly in the Champagne Stakes. But I did talk to Michael Carl after that race, and he said, he's just looking for the mile. He's just looking for the mile. But still, we probably wanted to see a little bit more run on than what we did see, but perhaps you'll see a better horse this week and over the 1350.
Yeah, exactly. Just on the two-year-olds too, Gay Waterhouse has let me know this morning that Prompt Response is going for a short let-up and won't be seen during the Brisbane Winter Carnival. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that it was not going to the JJ Atkins, but now it's not going to anything. So Prompt Response going for a short let-up, the two-year-old there of Gay Waterhouse's.
Yeah.
What else have you got?
Well, we did see Desley Forster. She didn't gallop her horses as usual on the course proper. She likes to gallop them first cab off the rank on the – actually, I think they went on the dirt now that I think about it. That's usually where she goes. But I did find out later that they had that A-grass open at Eagle Farm, which is basically part of the course proper at the moment. They haven't put the fence up, I don't think, on the outside of it, but it's been revamped along with the course proper. So that would have been a fantastic surface for horses over at Eagle Farm. But she galloped Cylinder Beach and on Bellucci together, and she's thrilled with the work. Obviously, Cylinder Beach has been pretty good. He ran second to McIntosh the other day. I think they'll want to stick a little bit closer to him in the run come this Saturday, and I think the blinkers could be going back on there also. But, yeah, really happy with them. And obviously, I'm Bellucci. Well, he's battling along well, but he'll be better suited at 2-2 this weekend and then the 2-4 of the Derby as well, because he's Group 1 placed previously. But those two locals are coming along beautifully.
Yeah, for sure. I've got to get moving here. Anything in the Glen Logan?
We talked to Rajat about Gay's horse, Kimberly Starr, but she only had a trot in Canter this morning. We saw Beatnik probably was the only one we saw actually gallop on the course proper there.
On that, a mare that we've quickly fallen in love with on this show, we had Chris Anderson on last week, Elegant Composure. They've changed tack there, Bernie. They're going to go to the Spear Chief at 1500 on Saturday week instead of the Glen Logan.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good idea, because she really looks like a mare that really wants to relax in her races, and she's probably feeling a little bit buckled over the shorter journey. So I think that's a good move on Chris's part.
Yep.
Definitely, because she's obviously really talented. I know she suffered her first defeat last time out, but it was still a pretty good fourth and she wasn't far away. So Yeah, she's an exciting horse. Well, we saw Hofgarten have a spin around. Actually, Hofgarten worked with, and I don't know if you know much about this Victorian, Red Alto.
Red Alto's up there, is it? Okay, yeah.
Paul Banks.
Yeah.
So they had a spin around. They went quite early. It was still quite dark, but their work nice and strong. Red Alto's in the Grand Prix this weekend and Hofgarten in the Lord Mayor's Cup. But, yeah, that was good work there also. But really, I think we only had maybe 10 or 12 horses work on the course proper altogether. Mm. Tony Golan worked his two three-year-olds on the A-grass at Secret Saga and Most Important. And we saw RGNC work for Clary Connors. Jimmy Byrne spun her around a few furlongs and he was very happy with the work. I'm not sure whether he's riding her this Saturday or Carmesite, though.
Yeah, I know the answer to that, but let me find it in my book of notes here. The other one, just in regard to that cutest three-year-old race with a GNC, San Gervasi for Bjorn Baker is going to be staying at Randwick. And Rowinda, who worked this morning, is going to be accepted for both Brisbane and Sydney tomorrow morning, and then they'll make a decision on which way San Gervasi runs.
Okay.
Stuart Kendrick's online, mate. We better get to him to find out. We'll talk to you during the week.
Thanks, Andrew. See
Thanks, Bernie. Bernie Cooper there from Trackwork. Divine Century, will it run in the 10,000 or not? Stuart Kendrick's the trainer of this informed galloper. Morning to you, Stu.
Yeah, morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Acceptances, in fairness, don't come until tomorrow, so you've got another 24 hours, but what are you thinking at this stage?
Yeah, look, Andrew, we worked it this morning, and I got Damien Brown to come and ride her in a work this morning, and he got off and gave her a glowing report, and he sort of probably swayed me a little bit towards leaning towards the 10,000. As he said, you know, there's probably only going to be nine opposition, and she's in good form, and you know, she's an on-speed sort of horse as well. So, you know, she sort of puts herself there. And, you know, with the field dropping away, we're probably leaning towards heading that way.
That's the key, I guess. I mean, I know you've got her in another race or two on Saturday, but, you know, if you end up with only eight or nine opposition, you never know what can happen in a race. And she's just racing so well.
Well, she is. And, you know, I mean, she's already stakes-winning filly, but if she does happen to run a place in the 10,000, even, you know, it makes her a fairly valuable filly. So, look, at this stage, you know, she's had a few issues as a younger horse, and, you know, she's in good form and good health. So, you know, it might be a good opportunity to have a crack.
Yeah. As listening to you and Damien Brown's report, she's obviously training on really well out of each race.
Yeah, she is. I mean, you know, she looks tremendous at the moment. I'm really, really happy with her. She's done everything right. She's got dapples all over. She's come through each run well. So, you know, it's you know, you don't get a lot of opportunities for such a lightly raced filly to have a crack at a race like this. And as I said, they're you know, usually they're big fields and full fields, and you know, you need a lot of luck. So, hopefully, you know, with a smaller field, if we can draw a decent barrier, you know, she'll put herself there somewhere.
Two Blue is one that obviously you would have seen the other day, puts it on and still fights on within herself late, but you might just get a nice cart through.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, when she won the McDippin Plate there two runs ago, she sat in third or fourth behind a Hot Speed and, you know, sort of allowed her to show a turn of foot, and she sort of really sprinted quickly and put the race beyond doubt. So, then the other day, I thought her win was very impressive. I mean, I know it's a big step up in grade, obviously, going into a Group 1, but, you know, she had to do a lot of work early, and then she really still finished off very quick and, you know, ran very good sectionals. So, you know, she's always given me the impression that the 1300-1400 will be, you know, her better, you know, her better distance, because she has got a good cruising speed, but she's a fairly relaxed filly as well with a good turn of foot. So, yeah, I mean, it just Rhiann Dooman, she's had three starts there for two wins and an unlucky placing. So, you know, she's got a few things in her favour. Obviously, the big step up in grade and the weight scale doesn't, you know, help us. But, you know, as I said, in a small field, it's just you know, an opportunity that might be too good just to not have a go at.
Yeah, exactly. All right, mate, we'll wait and see what happens with the final field tomorrow, but sounds like you're leaning that way. Good luck with the week ahead.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Stuart. Stuart Kendrick there, Divine Centauri at this stage. So that would give us 10, as I say, final field out in 24 hours for the Doomben 10,000. Just some other little quick snippets for Brisbane. Gassoni obviously lines up in the Glen Logan for the fillies and mares over the 1350. Talking with John O'Shea this morning, he just feels that she still might need the run, that she's not fully screwed down. Key words there. She's had all the gallops in Sydney, and she floats up, I think, tomorrow night or Thursday. But Gassoni lines up there, but may just need the run. Ambient certainly goes on to the Queensland Oaks. And at this stage, they'll have a couple running on Saturday heading towards the Derby. Eshiel is already on the Gold Coast, and Unbreakable is heading up with Gassoni either tomorrow or the next night. So that's the latest there from Godolphin. And from Hawks Racing, Michael Hawks has let me know overnight that Kaepernick, who returned a winner at Scone, is going to be lining up in the QTC Cup on Saturday week. You know the story there with the QTC and the Stradbroke, but they've got to get through the first little piece in the jigsaw, the QTC Cup on Saturday week for Kaepernick. We thank the trainers for letting us all this information so you know what's going on. Cameron Crockett is joining us. He's got an interesting two-year-old that won the English Challenge on May 13 called Barbass, and it could be heading to Brisbane as well. Morning to you, Cam.
G'day, mate.
Good to talk to you. You going to go north?
At this stage, yeah, the owners are pretty keen. It could be a touch ambitious for mine, but the horse is going well. He's a pretty good horse. I thought he might have been a horse sort of going towards as a three-year-old, more of a guineas type of a horse. I don't know what level guineas, whether it was the higher level or the lower level, I don't know, but he's more of a three-year-old for mine, but they're pretty keen to go up and have a shot. So if we draw a good barrier, I think we'll be there.
So the barriers are crucial this time tomorrow then, eh?
It is for me, but I'm not sure about the other boys. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure. He's nominated for Randwick as well, but yeah. That's sort of just in case. I think he'll be heading up north.
Okay. He's only had 5 starts, but he's shown a little bit in every race. I know a couple of those have been in the country, but I guess the way that won at Scone the other day was impressive.
It was impressive, but you've got to remember he was in restricted company. I mean, they were horses only bought from the Scone sale.
Yep.
I don't think any super horses ever won that race, but he's a very nice horse. He's probably the best horse I've had in my care, but I've never had a group horse in my care either, so I don't know what level he can get to. He may step up to it, he may not, I'm not sure. He's worked really well yesterday and he's going to travel up tomorrow, so he's got a massive week ahead of him that he's got to sort of, whether he'll handle that or not, I don't know. A lot of people say it seasons the horses when you take them up there. It might season the trainer as well, mate, which might be good.
Yeah, it's a bit warm up there, 27, 28 degrees, they keep telling us. And you're just going to leave it for a jockey? You'll just wait and see what unfolds tomorrow?
Yeah, at this stage, sort of, everybody I rang, they were already probably booked a couple of weeks ago. It's when sometimes when things are a bit of an afterthought like this, you miss out on crucial things like jockeys and that sort of thing, but particularly being that it's a two-year-old race, I mean, 24 hours is a long time with any horse, particularly with two-year-olds. So, we're just going to sit on it and see what happens. There should be plenty of good riders getting around up there, I think, but so we're happy to wait like that.
All right, we'll wait and see what happens tomorrow with the draw with Barbass, who won the English Challenge race at Scone and at this stage going towards Brisbane on the weekend. Thanks a lot, Cam. Good luck with the week ahead.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Cameron Crockett there from Mudgee with his 2-year-old gelding going north to Brisbane this weekend. Justin Timberlake on a Tuesday morning. I've got plenty of news to get through. I always love Tuesdays because there's so much around. Look to the stars. David Van Dyke has said unlikely to go to the Queensland Oaks. More of an option of going to the Group 3 Sunshine Coast Guineas, which is over a mile. There was a horse that finished off good on Saturday in Melbourne, Whoop Whoop, for Mick Price. Ran third to Loyalty Man at Flemington. It's in the Queensland Derby, but won't be going there, so you can ignore Whoop Whoop in that market with tab.com.au. And Precious Gem, the winner of the Sangster in Adelaide, won't be running on Saturday. It'll go through that Magic Millions national sale next week. But for Henry Dwyer, who trained Precious Gem, the horse continues to be in full work if the new owners want to run in another race during the Queensland Carnival. So Precious Gem not lining up on Saturday, but certainly continues to be in work. Well, a release came through late last week regarding new green keeping positions on offer around New South Wales. Dave Hodgson is joining us from Racing New South Wales on this morning. To you, Dave.
Good morning, Andrew.
What an opening this is. An opportunity where someone maybe of young age or a person who has an interest in turf management, there's these opportunities opening up right around the state.
Yes, Andrew. We found over the years that we are an ageing group of people, the course curators. So it was important when it was identified and we got the tax parity that we put some of that funding towards bringing young people, professionally trained young people through and refreshing our ranks.
Yeah, for sure. Now, just take us through it. What happens with the process here?
The process is on the Racing Australia website, under the Racing Jobs category, there is an ad for 27 positions across New South Wales. If people go to that website, they identify the area they want to apply for. And as I said, it is everywhere, including the five provincial clubs. Then they can call Maurice Logue. His phone number's on there if they want any further information, or they can just apply for the jobs. And over the next few months, Maurice and I and the clubs will be out there interviewing all of the candidates that apply. And can I say, Andrew, male or female, doesn't have to be a male. I actually used to teach turf management at TAFE, and we had a number of outstanding female apprentices.
Okay, well, that's good. We need everyone to come along here. And as I say, I mean, we mention young people automatically because we want them to be a part of it. But I guess if there's people out there that want to join into turf management that have had an interest in it, there's no reason why they can't?
No, anyone can apply. We want everyone to come in because we want the best in the industry. We'll try and pick the best person for the job. Turf management, they'll go to TAFE with people on golf courses, bowling greens, sporting stadiums, so they'll get a wide range of skills out of this. And also, we also intend to grab the apprentices and take them along to our new projects, which is really exciting, you know, the projects we're doing now, like the Port Macquarie's and the Newcastle's, and teach them about project management and construction. And, you know, of all those new things we're doing from the tax parity money.
Okay, so it's the Apprentice Sports Turf Management Greenkeeper is what you're calling it, and basically it's all areas of New South Wales plus the provincials, all areas. There's eight different regions, as we know, in racing in the state, and these are four-year apprenticeships?
Four-year apprenticeships, depending on the TAFE college, between 2 and 3 years, one day a week at TAFE. And they'll be working on the race courses and, of course, myself and our project manager, Callum Brown, will be going around mentoring the apprentices on the job at their workplaces as well.
Okay. Gee, it's an opportunity. If you're interested in this facet of, you know, greenkeeping and turf management, you can go to the Racing Australia webpage or you can go to the Racing New South Wales webpage. It's on there as well. It came up late last week. So if you're interested, don't miss out. Do it now. Is there a closing point, Dave, or not?
The closing date, I think, is around the 3rd, but it looks like we may extend that to the 6th of June.
Okay. All right. So time is of the essence, though. If you want to do it, make sure you do it straight away by either going to racingnewsouthwales.com.au or to racingaustralia.com.au and click under jobs and you'll get further details on this exciting new thing that was, I must admit, I don't want to get political because we are in that facet right now, but it was driven hard by our New South Wales Racing Minister, Troy Grant, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it was, and it's a really good initiative on behalf of the state government and Racing New South Wales that we're going to get these young people out there and in all these country areas where there is high unemployment, get them out there, get them trained, get them jobs.
Yeah, for sure. Good on you, Dave. We'll mention it again during the week, but the cutoff around June 6th. Make sure you do it by then. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
By the way, Port Macquarie had some trials late last week. How's it coming up towards the 19th of June?
Look, the track's looking great. It's designed to drain at a really substantial rate. at this point, the grass is slightly immature, which is why you would have seen we're only going to conduct one meeting a month until we hit the new growth season in September. Okay. Come October, we'll look at the growth rate and probably push a few more race meetings on as the grass matures. But fantastic looking track. Cambers are fantastic. We've made it wider, so the club's got an extra rail move, and I'm looking forward to having racing on it.
Yeah, June 19 is that first meeting. Thanks a lot, Dave.
No worries, Andrew.
Dave Hodgson there from Racing New South Wales. That's about it for Racing HQ. Back tomorrow morning with much more, of course. Being a Wednesday, we'll have our 9:30 Sydney preview. As I leave you, Rob Smurden has just texted me. Shabard, who won the South Australian Fillies Classic at Morfordville on Saturday, is definitely going to Queensland to run in the Oaks. At this stage, they're hoping for two, maybe three. Shabard, Dulverton and Safiki are the three that Rob Smurden would like to get into the Oaks. We'll wait and see what happens.